Good morning.
Good
to see you all. So as promised, I said I would talk a little bit about this Africa trip because you're like, why in the world is he going to Africa? Well, that's a good question. So I'll try to answer that. Tomorrow we leave. So there'll be five of us going. Dr. Key and his wife and Don Richards is already there. And Wendy Gade is a paramedic and myself. So we'll be leaving about 2:30 in the afternoon from Asheville Airport, and we get to Entebbe, Uganda, the following night at 10:30. That's Tuesday night, and they're 8 hours ahead. So it's going to be a long time traveling, as you can imagine. So I do appreciate your prayers. But you say, why are you going through all of that? Because then we got to do that on the way back, too. So I'll go through this. So, you know, I didn't have any anticipation or plans of going to Africa, but back, and it was actually October the 30th, Father Don Richards sent out an email. And Father Don Richards is the assistant priest at Church of the Reconciler, is that correct? Which is Father Mark Finley's church. You know Mark Finley. This is his assistant. And he sent out an email just saying, I'm looking for CEC medical people to go on a mission trip to Uganda to help out Bishop Hannington, who is starting a medical clinic in the place where he ministers. And so I thought, good luck, you're going to find some people doing that. And moved on to my day and all the things that were going on. But it kind of kept going, rolling around in the back of my mind, as you know how things are wont to do sometimes. And God has something to say about that. So a week later, I finally replied to him and I said, well, we'll just take the first step in the water here and say, you know, I might be interested in doing this thing. Tell me something about it. So he sent me back, you know, some details, possible cost, when we might be going, all of those sorts of things. And I said, okay, I'm just going to pray about this. And so I sought the Lord and asked him what I should do. And, of course, I didn't hear anything, as you can imagine. You know, that tends to happen sometimes. But I continued to ask, and I asked Amanda for her thoughts. And so she said she was going to pray about that, too. She certainly didn't tell me anything immediately. So we kind of went into a time of prayer, and I think you were the first one that I heard back from, and you finally said, yes, I heard that you're supposed to go. And so I knew right there that I was supposed to go, because if she said that, then... Because I wouldn't think that she'd really want me to go in another reason, unless it were God saying that that's what I was supposed to do. So I felt like that was an important thing, and also I felt, you know, that there was probably definitely something the Lord was trying to call me to here. So I emailed the Rector's Council and asked them for their discernment as well, too. And then we had this Peachtree City Clericus coming up, where I'd be meeting with all kinds of other clergy and priests. And so I started asking around while I was there some of the people about that. Unfortunately, Father Don wasn't there. He couldn't make the Clericus, so I didn't get to talk to him personally about the thing. But was able to talk to some other people, and they said, oh, yeah, this is important. You know, this is something, you know, pretty big. So I also asked our bishop, Bishop Chuck, for discernment. And the bishop wrote back to me and said he was very, very supportive, that it would be a joyous trip. He had heard words from the Lord saying that there would be abundance and joy. And so he strongly encouraged me to go as well, too. So, you know, this is starting to sound like I'm going to have to go to Africa, doesn't it? So so then there, you know, like I said, a couple of prophetic words about that. But it wasn't until, because I was still waiting and holding off, because, you know, there are things that you think of, like, where do you go to the bathroom in Uganda? And, you know, how am I going to get my coffee in the morning in Uganda? And, you know, all of that sort of stuff, you know, that I don't want to go to Uganda, Lord. But finally I said, okay, at the end of November, I told Father Don, you know, because he emailed me and said, what do you think, Father Chris? I'm getting to the end. I got to have an answer. And he was kind of, I felt like it was pushing a little bit. So I said, well, if you got to know right now, said my answer is no, I'm not going. And I said, well, we'll hold out for just a little longer and see what happens. And so we agreed to keep praying. And then finally I decided, okay, that was it. My wife's affirmed it. My bishop's affirmed it. Rector's Council affirmed it. Prayed about it. And it seemed the right thing to do. So sat down to write Father Don an email and tell him I was going. And I was looking through his email address on the computer. Happened to scroll down and a name caught my eye. And all of a sudden I heard the Lord say, ask her. And I was like, what? He said, ask her. Ask her if she wants to go. And the name that I'd stopped on was Marcus Gade, who's an old friend through the urgent care centers, and I'd worked with his wife, Wendy Gade, a paramedic at urgent care in Weaverville for a year or so. Wendy's a wonderful, faithful Christian lady who has a real heart for helping people. She'd been to Haiti a couple of times with the Sisters of Mercy missions teams, and she also went to the Philippines after the terrible disaster they had. I forget if it was it an earthquake? I think it was an earthquake and, you know, tsunami. And so she has a lot of experience in this area as well, too. And I hadn't heard from them or talked to them in probably 3 years. And so this thing, you know, she had moved on from the urgent care to a job at AB Tech teaching. But I clearly heard the Lord say, ask her. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll ask her. So I sent her an email. You know, emails are free, so you're not losing a whole lot by sending one. So I said, okay, I'll send her one. And then I told Father Don that I'd be going, and maybe I could come up with somebody else to go. Because they want to have as many people go on this trip as possible. Well, I didn't hear from Wendy for a week or so, as you might expect. And but it turns out she was kind of going through those same things that I had gone to, like, what? Go to Uganda? I'm too old, you know? I'm out of that. I've been out of it for too long now. And she's been working at AB Tech teaching other people how to do that kind of stuff. She's not going to do it herself. All those same excuses, you know, that come up when, you know, the Lord asks you to do a thing. But then she clearly heard, of course I want you to go. So she emailed me back and said, okay, guess we're going to Uganda. So we all started then working on raising our money because Father Don had told us it would be about $3,000 for all the stuff. And we didn't talk much more about it after that. Everybody kind of went back and started doing their things. And Father Don had gotten Dr. Tim Key, who's a doctor in Birmingham, to go. And Dr. Key quickly got his airline reservations and told us all about that. But I was really hesitant about putting out those reservations for the airline, you know. Well, yeah, it was $2,800, but, you know, I just like, is this exactly the right thing that we're supposed to do? I'm just, you know, not sure, you know, it's $1,400 round trip. So I kept searching, kept mulling over it, kept, shopping the prices and all those sort of things over the next few weeks. I mean, I was worried about that. It was worry going on inside me, you know. I said, oh, Lord, what if I don't raise enough money? I can't put out $2,800 for this. I'm about to put that on my credit card now. And so as that process was going on, the spiritual attacks heightened. Okay, little things meant to discourage me started happening, you know, cold weather, a flat tire, our water going out for a week, me dropping 50 pounds of water on my foot, the clutch going out on the car, you know, it just kept building and building and saying, God, I can't go, what am I thinking? I can't go anywhere in the middle of all this. What's going on? This is impossible. You know, those kind of things were going through my head, you know, and trying to keep me from making these reservations. But I knew that God had said that I was supposed to go. I looked back through all these emails of people telling me, yes, you're supposed to go. And so only through faith, I went ahead and made the reservations. And strangely enough, things eased up spiritually. Isn't that odd, huh? Now, I had announced the trip to the church, as you may remember, and that first Sunday, the Harshbargers gave me an initial donation. I was like, oh, well, all right, this is pretty good. And it's almost like that was an important thing to happen in order to make it tangible. And so then I set up that GoFundMe thing, and out of that, I think I raised about $170 from some friends. Daniel gave on the GoFundMe site, and Father Gerard as well, too. But, of course, you know, $160 or $170 wasn't going to do it. And I thought, okay, Lord, well, if you want me to go on this trip, you're going to have to put everything in place because I trust you, and I can't make it happen myself. So before Christmas, that was pretty much all the donations that we had. And I was trying not to worry about it. And then after Christmas, Father Bill announced the trip and asked for an offering here in the church. And as close as I know, we raised the entire plane fare that day, just in the one day. And it was like, wow, you guys are incredible. You are incredible. And so the money started to come in, you know. I mean, these were non-refundable tickets that I had to Uganda. When else are you going to go there, right? And the money came in. So thank you all. You're amazing. Now, I've traveled internationally before, And I know that there are different requirements for different countries, you know, and there are a lot of little things you got to get together. Of course, they have European plugs there, so you got to get your charger for your stuff. And they have different vaccines that are required. So I booked an appointment with the health department travel, you know, clinic to get updated on my vaccines. They have a nice travel clinic there if you're ever going, and they'll give you every shot that you need for wherever you could imagine. And the best time to do this is about 2 weeks before you leave, because that's when you got to start doing everything. So that's when my appointment was for, 2 weeks from leaving, all right? Well, in addition, I went to the State Department, U.S. State Department website, to register with them so they'd know where I was. And that gave me more information on entry into Uganda, and I found out that they require a yellow fever vaccine. And yellow fever is a mosquito-borne illness that you don't want to get, believe me. And we don't need it here in the Western Hemisphere. You don't even need it in Haiti, as a matter of fact. And I thought, no problem. That's the one that I didn't have, you understand. That'll be the big thing that I get at the health department anyway. So, you understand, I work every day except Tuesday and Sunday. So guess what day I have to get things done? Tuesday, right. And so that's when I get all my preparations done for this thing. Now, 3 days before my appointment, Wendy texts me and tells me there's a yellow fever vaccine shortage in the United States. And the Buncombe County Health Department doesn't have it. I'm like, oh, no. Uganda requires this vaccine before you can enter the country. So you cannot go if you do not have this. And I called the health department. Yes, confirmed they certainly don't have it. They directed me to a private company in Greenville, South Carolina that does have it. So I called them that Friday before my next Tuesday appointment asking, could I please get an appointment, knowing the only time I could go was Tuesday. And that last Tuesday would be exactly 2 weeks before going. I mean, this was the last chance, you understand. Now, the man on the phone was very nice, but he said, oh, no, we don't have any appointments on Tuesday. No, I'm sorry. Maybe later in the week we can do that. I'm like, I can't do it later than a week. It's got to be Tuesday. I didn't tell him that. But just as I was about to beg and plead, he said, oh, no, I could put you in at 10:30 right there. I'm like, okay, please do it. And see, this is the incredible grace of God that was happening. And that's what he's been showing me through this whole process of the thing, is his grace in it. Because that appointment was the appointment right before my friend Wendy was to go there and get hers done. So that meant that she and her husband and I, we could meet and plan right after we got this done. And this was the first time we'd met in 3 years. So once I was at the appointment, the nurse also explained to me that the yellow fever vaccination shortage is nationwide. And Greenville was one of only two places in the country that had it. The people were coming as far as Massachusetts to Greenville to get this thing. And it only took me an hour and a half to drive there. Could you imagine? So right there, things would have just ground to a halt if that had not happened. This was incredible. God's favor on this thing, you know. So you start to see that there's a pattern going on here, right? that things are being orchestrated by God, that he has a larger plan in mind for this, okay? And little things keep happening like that even now since then, okay? You guys have all been incredibly generous, and all of the expenses are handled now. The expenses in the country, the expenses for the medical licenses and all that sort of stuff are done. We've been able to get extra supplies. Father Don is in Kampala right now buying medical or medicines as we speak. And I've been worried about getting permission to practice medicine in the country because I'm a physician assistant. It's different, and it would be under a different council or something like that. And I'm still not sure if we filled out all the right applications, honestly. But God will work that out. I'm not worried about it. So, and I went to the barber last week, got my hair cut, and I told him about the trip. You know, he's a good Christian guy, and he's done some missionary work himself, Ukraine and China, and so I figured he'd be interested. And then at the end of the haircut, he said, this one's on me. Just tell me about the trip when you get back. I said, okay. Little things like that. So we have a new nun at Sisters of Mercy, the urgent care. She comes around and visits Sister Peggy. And she was visiting Brevard this last week and heard about the trip, so I told her about it. And she said, here, here's $40. You'll need it for your expenses. So little things like that just kind of keep happening. So I'm telling you all of this to kind of use this as an example for you, which in some ways, understand, makes me uncomfortable. I don't like using myself as an example because I'm not a real great example all the time. I don't always get it right, you understand. I'm not standing up here trying to tell you, this is how you do it, everybody, and you'll just be fine, okay? It's not like that. But do you understand that this process that the Lord is showing me, I want to share with you and show you that when you're seeking God's discernment and if you hear His word, then you allow Him to control the process and things will happen, okay? Not me in my power, but in His power. So what I'm trying to do through this whole thing, and from the first time when I sent back that email saying I was going, is that I'm trying to be present and available to God for Him to use me in some way. I mean, I vaguely heard there was an interest in this trip, so I sought more discernment, right? And I got back answers. I went through my rector's council. I went to my bishop. You know, I sought other godly men and women in their opinions, not opinions, but their discernment. And we started hearing back. But then opposition started rising as well, too, as it often tends to do. But I stuck with it, and God overcame the obstacles. I didn't. Okay? God overcame the obstacles that were thrown in the way. That's what you have to do, is just put your faith in Him in order to make that happen. All I did was make myself available to Him. Okay? And that's what He wants each of us to do. He doesn't want us to go out there and try and orchestrate the whole thing and force, you know, round pegs into square holes and make it all happen. He just wants us to participate in His plan, okay? To be available with what we already, you know, possess, okay? Now, I don't know what's going to happen in Africa, okay? But I seem to think that it's probably going to be a pretty impressive kind of trip. And I can already see that God has been working miracles just to get us to this point, okay? So I want to, you know, show you a little bit more about where we're going and what we're going for. So I do have a couple of YouTube videos that I want to try and show if we can make them work. So let's all pray that the technology works correctly. Lord Jesus, we pray that you just allow this to work well. And here it comes.
As I reflect back on the journey of my life, I think about how God directed me to Kampala for that workshop. I had a burden for my church to give from their hearts and not out of duty. But I never thought it would take such a horrible situation for me and my town to realize that we all needed to change.
In 2001, the ADF army overtook many regions of western Uganda, forcing over 80,000 survivors into the turmoil and destitution of refugee camps. As the war raged on, hope along with the moral fiber of the people faded. But there was one who chose to inspire through honesty and gracious giving. And this is his story.
My name is Huntington Bahemuka, but most people call me Bishop Huntington. The life in the camps was very bad because families would crowd in the shack houses, children would go without food for 1, 2, 3 days, water was not available, and death started resulting within a short time.
How can I help them out of this situation?
While everything around him was disintegrating, war could not destroy Pennington's commitment to effective stewardship.
The Lord spoke to my heart.
Buffering.
It's kind of how it is when the Lord speaks. Sometimes it buffers.
Paul Martinberg, is he a CEC bishop?
Yes.
He's a CEC bishop, okay.
Hmm.
Just another little thing. Bishop Hannington, again, his name is Bahimuka, but Hannington, he was named after the first martyr of Uganda. He was a bishop of the Anglican Church, I believe, who was the first to go into Uganda and, again, was the first martyr of Uganda. So he took his name after that fellow. That was in the 1800s.
Disintegrating. War could not destroy Hannington's commitment to effective stewardship.
The Lord spoke to my heart.
This is what my dad's body.
You could lower the resolution a little bit.
And maybe you just need to give us all the YouTube links so we can call them once we send it.
Is he using data? Yes, he's on wireless here.
He's with him directly. Oh,
technology is great in it when it works.
Experiencing interruptions? Yes, yes, we do.
It's a cable.
We're going past that spot.
Try reloading.
Yeah.
We all got good ideas.
We all have our tricks that we try to use. Oh, the dinosaur. The dreaded dinosaur.
So back to the sermon. So Bishop Hannington, out of that, was able to mobilize his people and his church to help out his community, basically. And instead of one of the things that they mentioned in the video is, well, we can try it again. You want to try and go forward?
The Lord spoke to my heart about putting into practice what I had learned at the International Steward Workshop. I had been told that everything we have belongs to God. So even in this refugee camp, God has put abundant resources for his work. So I called upon the believers to start sharing what they have with the needy. In the camps, we started a campaign to provide blankets to the orphans. And it was the first time we saw the principles come to life.
After two miserable years in captivity, it was safe to return home to Bundibujo, only to find that all had been destroyed.
The houses had been torn down, the farms had nothing in them, churches had been demolished, schools were devastated, so we started from scratch.
The need seemed too great, leaving the people asking the all too common question, how can the people from the West help us? However, Hannington inspired his people to ask a different question.
I asked, how soon can my people rise to the challenge of funding not only their immediate needs, but their future as well? I told the people at that time that God has given us everything we need to rebuild our community. And what he needed was others to make themselves available to him, and he was going to use us. And those of us who are mechanics, those of us who are business people, they can use their gifts and the trade that they have to build their community. Taught us about giving, and through that the pastors went around teaching, so through that the message was spread.
Now
One by one, person by person, the idea caught on, and before they knew it, the town was being transformed.
We began to rebuild our churches, provided homes and schooling for the orphans, and the needs of the people were met.
The people understood that they needed to create wealth in order to allow for tangible generosity. By using their God-given gifts and resources they already possessed, a cycle of sustainability was established.
We have a lady in our church. She is lame, but one day we were calling upon people to bring their gifts to come and build a church. And today, the church she worships in is made of bricks, and we look at that as a wonderful example of gracious giving. And this message can work in every situation, in every country, because surely generosity is transformational.
Out of the jungle of war and destruction, one pioneer leader, inspired by generosity, shared the vision with his community. No longer waiting for outside relief, the grace of giving has replaced a welfare mentality, and an entire town was rebuilt.
You can do the next one too, Daniel.
My name is Huntington Bahemuka, Bishop of the Charismatic Episcopal Church in Bundibugyo, Uganda. Bundibugyo lies on the western border of Uganda and Congo, and it is about 200 miles from Kampala. Our story of the ministry begins when we were forced into displaced people's camps after the invasion of rebels from the Congo. We found ourselves congested in a camp where we did not have food if we were not helped by the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. But God put a burden on our hearts as a church. We looked around and saw many children who had been left orphans by the war. So we took it upon ourselves to collect these children and put them in our homes to be able to give them shelter, to give them food, and to give them a sense of belonging. And we saw that they had another need. The greatest need for them was for them to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we found that we could not do this if these children were scattered in different schools. So we decided to bring them under one school so that we could nurture them in Christian living. Currently, 50 students are sleeping in one room. This is about 20 feet by 20 feet. And we have to make the beds such that we have three children sleeping on three beds high. So, and that becomes very difficult for a small child to climb up and down every time she is going to bed. I'm praying and hoping that one day we shall get electricity and water in the dormitories, but the current need is to have a building to accommodate 100 children so that we can have enough space for all the children. What gives us delight is seeing these children who have come to school. For them, they think they have come for education only, but when we impart the lifestyle of Jesus into them, we see them becoming almost different people when we see these schools running, and we see how enthusiastic the children are about studying and how successful they are becoming. Then it gives me encouragement that the more we help these children, the better they will be. I want to take this opportunity to thank all people who have stood with us from the beginning up to this day, and also to thank God who has seen us through this first phase. And now here we have an opportunity to build a school for 100 more children.
The fact that you are watching this video is not a coincidence. This is time that God has put before you. Will you join hands with us to make this dream a reality? And one way you can do that, come and visit us and see the work that God has put before us. Thank you.
So that's Bishop Hannington, who we'll be going to see very soon. So today's scriptures are talking about being available to the Lord and to others. Bishop Hannington's a very good example of somebody who's available to God for his use and to his village. Okay? It looks like he's done a miraculous work, and that's what I'm going to go tell you about when I get there and see. And I'm going to tell them about you. Jesus was available when you saw the when you heard the gospel for today. You know, he walked into Peter's house expecting just to get a meal. But God used him right there in that instant to perform a healing on Peter's mother-in-law, who had a fever. Fevers can be very serious. And so it's about being available to God and to others. And that's what I'm trying to be as well, too. Again, Bishop Hannington, I think, is a wonderful example of that. You all have made yourselves available as well, too, because you're the ones who are sending me there. So, you have and already are a part of this. You have been and already are a part of this. But you can be available every day in your regular activities. It doesn't have to be huge things like going to Africa. It can just be in your daily activities. Make yourselves available to God for His work and available to others. When we start following God, you can expect that obstacles are going to be thrown into your way, okay? Resistance is going to occur. But if you feel that you've heard clearly from the Lord, then stand in that strength, stand in that faith, and watch Him brush the obstacles away. You have to trust Him. So you remember a couple weeks ago I took pictures of you guys, and I've made 75 copies. That's what I could afford at the moment. And so I'm going to hand out pictures of you all to the folks in Bundibugyo when I go, and I'm going to tell them about you and your faithfulness and how you are available to the Lord as well. So I'm hoping that they'll hang on to those pictures, and they might even continue to keep praying for you guys. My plan, because Bishop Hannington has asked me to preach on Sunday, next Sunday, I'm going to talk to him about being the gift of God. You remember a couple weeks ago I preached to you about you being the gift of God to the world. And I'm going to talk to them about that as well, too. So I do covet your prayers for me, for Wendy, for Barbara, for Tim Key, for Father Don Richards, Bishop Hannington, and all the other people in Bundibugyo. I'll take a lot of pictures, and if I can, I'll try and put them up somewhere. I'll try to figure out how to do Facebook, if I can, before I get back. If not, I'll bring you back plenty to talk about. And I would covet your prayers right now. If you guys wouldn't mind, come up and praying over me and laying hands on me. Please, come up.